So let's give an example. Let's say a person believes that this is a dog-eat-dog world. Have you ever heard of that phrase, dog-eat-dog world? What does that mean? It means everybody's out to get you. Everybody's just after themselves. People are only interested in eating them. Everyone's out to eat your tail. Nobody could care less about you. Okay. If a person truly believed that this is a dog-eat-dog world, how would that be expressed in their behavior? They would not be charitable. Their law would be, thou shalt not give charity. What else would be their law? Yes. Okay, thou shalt be cutthroat.
Right?
Thou shalt not trust anyone. Do you get the point? All the laws are just basic derivatives of your belief orientation. You follow that?
So I'm saying that's from God.
I'm not talking about God right now. I'm just talking about the relationship between your beliefs and your behavior. You have to understand that your behavior is directly impacted and controlled by your beliefs. If you believe that you're a loser, you're going to behave like a loser. If you believe you're a winner, you're going to behave like a winner. If you believe you're beautiful, you're going to behave like a beautiful person. There are girls that you might see that actually physically looking at them, they're really not so nice looking. But they believe they're beautiful, and everybody else starts to believe it too. Because they just treat themselves that way. They just act that way. Right? And there are women who actually physically, objectively would be beautiful, but they think they're ugly. And so they treat themselves like they're ugly, and then they convince everybody else that they're ugly. Their behavior is doing that. And they understand, this is why this is so important. You understand your beliefs is the motor of your life. The most important thing in your life is to really figure out what your beliefs are and how they are controlling your behavior. Because if you don't like the way you act or the way your friend acts, then realize it's rooted in something they believe. Right? About people, about themselves, about God, about life. But everything's rooted in their beliefs. Okay? That's why the study of Torah is so important. Right? Because essentially when you're studying Torah, what it's claiming to do is it's claiming to offer you the beliefs that the world was created in accordance to. Okay? That's the claim. I'm not saying you have to accept this. I'm just simply saying you've got to understand what's in the offering here. What are we exactly studying here? We're studying a religion. And a religion is a set of beliefs. And this set of beliefs about who you are, who people are, and our relationship to beyond human, whatever that is, okay? And we need to understand that our principles of belief are directly translated into our behavioral patterns, okay?
But I don't think that has to be.
They absolutely have to be.
I mean,
you have no choice about it. No, let's forget about where your beliefs come from. We'll deal with that in a second. In the meantime, you have to understand that what you believe about yourself, what you believe about people, and what you believe about beyond that is directing your daily behavior. That's just the way it is. That's why people go to therapy. The reason why a person is in therapy is because they have beliefs that are not productive, that are damaging them. They believe, you know, that someone's out to kill them. They believe the whole world hates them. Well, you know, so the therapists are trying to get them to believe something else. Okay? But you understand, everything in your life is according to your beliefs. What do you really believe about yourself? Right? Do you believe you're good? I told you the story about Rav Shlomo Kalbach. Right? I think I told you a story. He was used to give concerts in prisons all the time. So, and he'd invite everybody warmly, hug everybody, and invite them to his concert. He went up to this one guy, maybe was like a murderer, a real thug-looking guy, a real, you know, mean guy. And Shlomo doesn't think twice and comes up to the guy and gives him a big hug. The guy was shocked. And he said to him, hey, brother, come to my concert. And the guy looked at him and said, I'm not your brother. I don't know who you are. So Rav Shlomo sweetly, lovingly said, I'm sorry you feel that way, because just know I'm your brother. Right? Even though you don't feel you're mine. So he said, he was so shocked by the love. and the openness. She says, so please come to my concert. So you know what? He actually showed up to the concert. This big, you know, mean, tough-looking guy shows up to the concert. After the concert, as Rabbi Kalmbach was leaving the prison, this guy starts running after Rabbi Kalmbach. And he says, Rabbi, Rabbi, one second. He says, what is it? And he says to them, like a little boy says, could I have another hug? Right? So the rabbi said, Gavald, for sure, brother. Gave him a big hug. And the guy looked and says, you know, Rabbi, if someone would have given me a hug like that 25 years ago, I would not have been in a place like this. So basically, this guy grew up not believing that he's a good person, that he's worthwhile, that anybody could ever love him. And therefore, he ends up doing what he does, because that's what he believes about himself and people. So you have to understand what you believe is everything in your life. Your whole life is dependent upon what you believe, right? There could be people who have everything to be happy about, and they're miserable. And you could have people who have everything to be miserable about, but they're happy. Why? It all depends on what they believe. If a person has a tough life, but they believe, well, I believe there's a God, I believe God loves me, I believe whatever happens in my life is for my good, I believe that out of this will come great growth, so they look at it and they're able to move through it. Right? Another person looks and says, I don't believe there's a God. I feel I just got dumped on. I feel that just I've got bad luck and that life is going nowhere, coming from nowhere. And so that's what you get. What you believe is what you get. So you have to understand, that's why this is so serious. Because most people don't even know what they believe. And they don't even know why they believe what they believe. And they don't know what the sources are. And they don't even know how their beliefs are actually directing the way they behave. Right? And so they're victims of their belief, and then they say religious people are living under blind faith. What are you talking about? Most people are living with blind faith. Most people have no clue what they believe in, and yet this is what is guiding them to be the kind of person they are. It's what they believe about themselves, what they believe about people, and what they believe about the beyond. And even people who believe in God. That you got to check out too. Because you got terrorists that devoutly believe in God. They believe in a God that has created us, hates Jews, thinks Jews are the devil, and that you have a mitzvah to kill them. And therefore, if you're walking down the street and you hear this guy scream, Allah Akbar, you better get out of there because he's about to kill you. But that's because he believes so profoundly, so deeply in God, and he has such mesirat nefesh. He has such incredible love for God that he's willing to do this. Blow himself up. That's how much he believes in God. Do you understand this? All because of belief. So that's why it's really important. You have to understand, what are your beliefs? How are they affecting your behavior? What are your sources for your beliefs? Are they productive? Are they empowering? Or are they disempowering? Are they bringing you happiness in your life? Or are they destroying your life? Right? And most people just go to therapy for that. Right? And most people aren't in therapy. Right? But it all goes back to that. Yeah. Daniel.
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
Okay.
So what are people who act contrary to beliefs? I'm glad you asked that. They don't act contrary to their beliefs. That's really in their deepest soul what they really believe. That's why they're behaving that way. So I'll give you an example. I have met people who are profound believers in God, but the parents raised them as atheists. Right? And the parents don't know where they went wrong. Right? How did, well, I don't know what. I had my kid every day say, God is none. And the kid believes in God. I've met people who are tremendous atheists, and their parents were Orthodox Jews. And the parents can't figure out, how did this happen? Every day I had my kids say, God is one. Right? And the kids don't believe in God. Well, there could be, of course, a number of scenarios, but one I think that's definitely valid is it was their behavior. You see, you could have an atheist who says there's no God, and yet treats every human being in the image of God. Treats every human being as a precious creation with purpose, meaning, and ultimate value. So really, their behavior is saying they do believe in God. Right? Even though their mouth is saying they don't. You could have another person who says, I believe in God, and yet they treat people like dirt. Right? So the behavior is really saying, you don't really believe in God, because if you really believed in God, you wouldn't act that way. Okay, now there is something called moments of lapses, right? Like the Gemara says, that a person only does a sin if a spirit of insanity enters into their heart. So you can have moments of insanity, right? The question is, do you repeat it? Okay, do you do this in a repetitive way, or just sometimes you have a moment of doubt, right? In that moment when he did it, he did not believe in God. Even though in general he does, but at that moment he just didn't anymore. For that moment, perhaps.
Is it more belief determined actions, or your actions determine?
No, your actions are the most direct. Your actions speak the loudest of what you really believe. But it's your beliefs that are directing your actions. What you can do is change your actions, and that would change the way you start to think. And that's the Jewish approach. Judaism says that according to our deeds is our minds. So if we want to change the way we think, then we should change the way we act. Because you can't really change the way you think, right? So you have bad habits, so now you have to create good habits, right? You have to create good habits. But that's important to understand, that really your beliefs are guiding and directing, controlling your behavior. And if you want to change your beliefs, then you have to now begin to behave differently. Right?
So you say you must change your actions to change your beliefs.
But how do you change your actions?
The way you would change your actions is you believe that your beliefs are not good, that you have some problems, that you intellectually appreciate this true, but you still don't get it. It hasn't been internalized. And therefore, through your behavior, you will internalize this new way of thinking. But this is very important. This is like 101. What is a religion? It's really a set of beliefs about yourself, about the world, about beyond. And you have to understand that those set of beliefs are guiding, directing, controlling your behavior. Meaning, your beliefs are setting up your own halacha system. You have rules that you actually run your life by. Right? Now the question is, where did you get your beliefs? What's the source of your beliefs? Why do you believe what you believe? Okay. What is your upbringing? Big place is your parents. You've watched your parents, you've heard your parents, and there's a lot of things you believe because that's what they've been saying, either with their words or with their actions, but that's what they've been saying. That's one of our sources of belief. Where else do we get our beliefs?
Friends,
that's right. Society, friends, right? Certain things that your friends convince you on. I mean, I don't know, in your society, but where I grew up, if a kid did up the first button, then they're losers. You never want to be caught with your first button done. It had to be at least one done. What?
Whoever created that rule
was probably some nerd. What?
How come the top button isn't the coolest thing ever?
I don't know, but that's my point. My point is...
Why is this good?
Why don't you wear your top button?
Huh? Where's your button? Right? But you understand, that's the point. The point is that people were under the impression, right, and under the influence... because of this silly belief, right? Who founded this belief, you know? But there was one kid in the class who every day came with his top button and he had no friends. He had nobody wanted to play with him because he had his top button up, right? So like it's really crazy. But you understand the point here. This is stupid. It was a belief. There was a belief in the school and that was it, right? It was a belief that if you smoke, you're cool. If you don't smoke, you're not cool. Well, who says? But you understand, these are sources of our beliefs. Our parents, our peers.
Television
is a big thing. Television gets you to believe all kinds of crazy things. For instance, blondes have more fun. Right? Do you know that?
It's true. Blondes.
Redheads have more fun. Okay. Why do you think I dyed my hair this way? Right? But that's it. Blondes have more fun. We're in a society that to be thin is in. Not all societies are like that. There are some societies that really find round, fattish women attractive. Now, you understand, the truth is that a lot of people just can't be thin. It's just not their body structure. So imagine if you're in a society where only thin is considered to be respectable, right? So then you feel like a loser. Why? That's the way God created your body. You're not a thin person, right? But you understand these beliefs, and these could destroy people's lives because this is what people believe, right? Do you know how high the rate of anorexic women? Women that are anorexic in high school, girls who eat and vomit their food afterwards because they're afraid of their figures. Do you understand what the pressure is to be this incredibly thin girl? It's terrible. It can be destroying people. Right? Because, you know, a tremendous amount of television and movies and society and all the billboards. But you have to understand this all goes back to what do you believe? And what do you believe really matters? Is that what you believe matters? Do you believe that that will be a source of great value to you or not? It all goes back to what do you believe? That's why it's so important. You can't just say, well, I'm not going to do anything about my beliefs. Right? You have no choice. If you really want to take control of your life, then you have to get in touch with what do I believe? You have to say, what is Judaism offering? This is its claim. Right? Judaism claims here is a system of belief that come from God. And if you want to live a healthy, happy, productive life, this is what you should believe. And this is how you would behave. You follow that? That's an important claim. Right? That's what we're talking about. That's what's being offered in this store called religions. Right? Which is a set of beliefs that implicate, more than implicate, explicitly describes a lifestyle, behavioral patterns, which are aligned with these beliefs, which are aligned with the creator of the universe. I mean, if that's what it is, who wouldn't want to do it? Right? And if there's even a chance that that's what it is, I still think people should do it. Right? Yeah.
Someone was sacrificed, does that mean that they automatically believe in God?
No, it doesn't automatically, but it would help. In other words, the idea of putting a kippah on is a sense of a power greater than myself. It's an act of humbleness. And
that action indicates those beliefs.
That's what that action is supposed to do. Now, but if you had no clue that that's what it's supposed to do, I'm not sure it would do that for you. I'm not saying I'm sure, yes or no. Well, not sure it would. I think if you had a little bit more of a sense of why you're doing it, then it would produce greater results. But it could be just doing it would do it, because there's actually a story in the Gemara, an interesting story, how a woman was told by an astrologer that her son would be a thief, that that's just going to be his nature. And she said, oh no. Right? So she, when the kid was born, she immediately put a kippah on his head. She covered his head. And as long as his head was covered, he was not a thief. And then the story in the Talmud says that a wind blew his head covering off, and he suddenly had this incredible urge to steal, right? Somebody else's head covering. I'm just joking. But he had this urge. So according to that Gemara, here is a little boy. He grew up with something covering his head, and it had this impact on his orientation to life. And it was off his head, and suddenly he just had a different orientation. So you know what? From that Gemara, there's just something about these types of behavioral patterns that influence us in a very deep internal way.
So if you're not convinced that you believe something, if you do an action which would hypothetically demonstrate that belief, do you think that helps you to secure your own belief?
Yes, because they've actually showed this in handwriting. They now do therapy where they get people to change their handwriting. Because, you know, handwriting is pretty amazing. You can see in handwriting just your whole personality in your handwriting. So now there's therapy where they try to get people to, you know, write straighter, you know, dot their I's, you know, cross their T's where the T is. And they're finding that these little nuances, right, they did an experiment with children. Some kids were given just black crayons, right, They only had one color. And the other kids, they had multicolors that they could use. And they saw a definite effect on the kids' emotional well-being and attitudes. So you need to understand, you know, when you have a kid and you raise your kid saying brachas, right? You raise your kid that before they eat something, they acknowledge God. You don't think that has a huge impact on a kid and their awareness of food and their relationship to a higher power and a sense of real appreciation, gratitude? For sure, right? For sure. It has an impact. Okay? And, you know, kids don't have any ritual. So there's a very famous, he's like the self-growth guru of the world, a guy named Tony Robbins. I don't know if you've heard of Tony Robbins. So, Tony, what? Tall guy, yeah. Teaches people how to walk on fire, or on, he's got something called the fire walk. So Tony Robbins basically says this also. He says that your beliefs are the strongest powers in your life, and they enable you to tap your deepest resources. And then he basically teaches people how to become successful, because what he's going to do is going to teach you what you need to believe in order to be successful. And what he does is something called modeling, whereby he goes to a Olympic diver. And he finds out what this guy believes about himself, about what he's doing. Because if I can believe what he believes, I can dive like he can dive. And that's what his belief is. He believes that everything's a recipe. Like, I can give you the recipe for chocolate cake, my recipe, and if you follow my recipe, you can make just a good chocolate cake. Well, so too, if I give you the psychological recipe that I'm using to become a billionaire, you could become a billionaire. Because of what the guy believes about himself, about his relationships with people, about whatever. So that's Tony Robbins' theory, and he's demonstrated tremendous success in doing it. But one of the things that Tony Robbins says, which is kind of a little funny, he says you have to create rituals in your life that embody these beliefs. Right? But he's too late. We did it long, thousands of years before him. But you understand, you know, he's suggesting that in order to maintain these particular beliefs for, that are necessary for success, you should have some kind of ritual that enables you to take, you know, to embody and to internalize these beliefs. So what are you going to do? Make up your own rituals? Right? Here you've got thousands of people, millions of people putting on tefillin. You're part of a movement. So I have a friend who was like his right-hand person. She used to put on his events. And now she's an Orthodox Jew. And I thought that's so interesting. Here's a woman who studied years and years and years alongside Tony Robbins and was one of his, you know, his protégés, as well as one of the people who put on his major events. And she said, when I started learning Torah, I realized, first of all, a lot of what Tony said was in Torah. But I also realized that Torah has a lifestyle that is a historic lifestyle, which is part of a world movement. She said, like, Shabbos is brilliant. But, you know, there's no movement of Tony Robbinites. There's no Robbinites. She says, but here I can travel any of the world, and I can always get invited for Shabbat. I can always find this community that has like-minded beliefs and has rituals that I have that embody and express those beliefs. And so now she's an Orthodox Jew because she saw that Judaism is the ultimate guide to personal power, spiritual growth, right, and unlimited power. So, understand, this is very, very serious. When you're studying Torah, what exactly are you studying? You're studying a system of beliefs with a life pattern, with a behavioral pattern, which is based on those beliefs. And it claims that these are the beliefs that describe what life is really about. And that gets me to the next part of this. We just described what is a religion. But now, what is truth? What makes something true? How do you know something's true? How do you know it's a true religion? So, let's say what I would do, as I'm not going to do it now, is when I do groups, what I do is I have everybody close their eyes, and I put something in their hands, an unidentified object in their hands. And they start flying around. No, I'm just joking. They put some unidentified object in their hands. And I ask them to tell me what it is. What do they know about it? Okay? So, let's say everyone closes their eyes and I put in their hand a rabbit. a living rabbit. Right? So imagine they have this thing, and they would probably, the first thing they know about it is that it is. That's the first thing you know. It is. That's a good description of it. It is. Okay. Now what is it? It is alive. Right? Now if someone says it is dead, then either something's wrong with them or something's wrong with the rabbit. Because they held it too tight. And it is dead. Right? But before it was alive until they put it in their hands. Right? But you can say it is alive. Okay. It is fuzzy. Ooh, it's wet. But they know what it is. Okay? So what is the search for truth? The search for truth is to describe in the most accurate way that which is. That's what the search for truth is. That's why it's called Judaism, Buddhism, Hinduism, Christianism. They got it wrong, those Christians, right? It should be Christianism, but what can I say? But it's the ism. There is an is. There's an is. You can't argue with is. Is. We is. This is. Right? The world is. But what is it? That's the question. So the search for truth is a search for beliefs that correlate to what truly is. So let's say I believe that this is alive. Is that true? No. So what my belief about it does not fit what it is. You follow that? So there's a famous philosophical story about five men who are holding an elephant, different parts of an elephant, and they're blindfolded. Do you remember this? Have you ever heard this? Okay, well, now you did. You heard it here first. Okay? So there's an elephant, and you got these blindfolded guys, and they're at different, you know, places, and now they embrace this elephant. Okay? So they say, well, what is this? So one guy says, an elephant is thick and stocky, and he's holding the elephant's leg. And the other guy yells at him, and starts to say, you idiot! That's not what an elephant is. An elephant is long and lanky and hairy at the end, and he's really holding on to the tail. Right? The other guy says, you're crazy. What are you talking about? An elephant is thin and feels kind of like a membrane of some sort, and he's holding on to his ear. Okay? So really, all they're doing is trying to describe what it is. But because they can't get the whole description, they're stuck with only a partial description, so it's partially true. An elephant is long and lanky and hairy because an elephant is also a tail. But that's not all of an elephant. That's the search for truth. The search for truth is to find a belief that correlates to what really is. Okay? That's what it means. And that's what Judaism claims. Judaism claims that these sets of beliefs correlate to what life really is, that this lifestyle is going to enable you to live in harmony with what really is. Do you follow that? Very important to understand what's in the offering over here. What's being sold, you know? You understand? It's very serious what's being offered. And it's very serious because you definitely want this. Now, maybe it's not Judaism you want. But we all want to be in touch with reality. Otherwise, you're living in illusion, right? If you think the chair is actually a toothpick, you're in big trouble, right? You're going to have a hard time. You follow this? So correlating what you believe something is with what it really is means you're in touch with reality. So imagine you're in Italy and you go to the tourist office and you ask for a map. Well, the guy there is an idiot and he doesn't realize that he gives you the map of Jerusalem. Right? Now, you don't speak Hebrew or Italian anyways, right? So you're kind of hoping to understand this thing from diagrams. So you open up this map, and you see an arrow, which you figure, oh, this means you are here, so I guess this is the tourist office, right? And really, it's a tourist office in King George and Jaffa, but you're in Italy, right? So you're looking at it, and you really need badly to go to the bathroom. Okay, so you look at the map, and you try to find one of those pictures that looks like a toilet or something. So you go, oh, okay, so there must be a bathroom somewhere towards the east, about 5 blocks from here. Got it? You're following the map. Okay? So you follow the map as best as you can, and you end up in front of one of those fancy Italian fountains with a little Cupid peeing into it. And you go, no way. I couldn't do it here. This is how Italians do it. That's the last guy who did it here. I mean, you know, you figure, whoa, this is crazy. How long does it take you to realize that this map is not of Rome? Because the map does not fit the terrain. Do you follow that? That's the search for truth. The search for truth would mean that you would find a map of beliefs and behavioral patterns that correlate to what really is, where you are, who you are, right? Then this map will enable you as a human being in a world, right, to get where you were meant to get to in life. That's what Judaism claims to be. It claims to be God's map of the universe. It claims that it'll show you where you are, where you need to get to, and how to get there. That's what it claims. I believe it is, right, in my life experience. Now, part of it would be the element of success. Like, how do you know something's true? Now, Tony Robbins says something very interesting. Tony Robbins says, I'm not going to teach you truth. I don't know truth. I'm going to teach you what works. Right? I can't tell you if it's true or not, but I don't really care, he says. Because what I care about is success. So I'm going to tell you what you need to believe to succeed in life. Okay? And whether it's true or not, doesn't matter to me. Because I need something that works. And there's something very, you know, genuine about that. Right? Very true. Right? I can tell you, Judaism works. Right? If you play it right, it works. It works because it has enabled Jews to survive the most incredible challenges any human beings have ever had to suffer. It works. It has demonstrated how a people can survive against all odds. Right? It works because if you see a Torah family, you just see, I mean, a genuine Torah family. It's just really amazing. So you can decide. Raise your kids on television and turn the superheroes of television into the people they want to model their lives after. Right? Or would you rather your kids model their life after someone like a Moses, someone like a Rabbi Akiva, someone like a Hillel? But you gotta realize these are the choices we have to make in our lives. And that was part of my choice of why I decided to live a Torah life. Right? Because I saw it worked. And I grew up with, you know, singing Crosby, Still, Nash and Young, if you know who they are. Right? And I remember one song that really struck me. You know, you don't always remember lyrics of songs. But I was very much into rock and roll. And it was, you who are on the road must have a code that you can live by. I thought, that's so true. I felt, I have no code in my life. I felt my life is a road. I feel I'm going somewhere. Where? I don't know. How I'm supposed to get there? I don't know. Because I don't even know where I'm supposed to go. I just felt I had no codes in my life. There was just no code. So the first time I really started learning Torah, I said, well, here's a code. Right? And here's a code that has good evidence that it's in fact the code from God. And not only that, I see it works. Right? So that only confirms even more that maybe this really is from God. Because I see it works. It's created, in my mind, the most evolved human beings. Right? When you look at a Torah scholar, you meet someone like a Rav Nevensaul, you say, whoa. You just see evolved human beings. Right? So, what is a religion? A set of beliefs. What is the truth? A set of beliefs that correlate to what really is. That's truth. Last thing, what is faith? What is faith anyways? So you have to understand, in Torah there's no such thing as faith. That's just an English word. There's something called emunah. What does emunah mean? No. I don't know what it means, because there's no English word that translates into faith, into emunah. That's one of the problems, you know, with Jewish life. Emunah. Emunah. So where does the word emunah come from? Omanut. You know what omanut means? Artist. Ne'eman means to be dedicated. Okay? What is really emunah? Emunah means that a person successfully portrays with dedication their beliefs. Right? In other words, does your behavior portray your beliefs? That's emunah. Truth does your beliefs portray what really is? That's truth. Right? And all that together is what really is a religion. Okay? But we're looking for a true religion. Now I want you to understand something very interesting. Rav Kook says that there is truth in all religions. Pretty, very powerful thing. However, Judaism, he says, is the whole truth. So if you go to court and they say to you, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? What do they say to you? What? Not necessarily. That's not what they think they're saying. What does it mean, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? What's wrong with just the truth? Because the truth isn't always the whole truth. For instance, my son comes home and says, Johnny kicked me! Not you, Johnny, you. Johnny kicked me! So I'm really upset with Johnny. So I rush out there, because I knew Johnny was a creepy kid. I said, Johnny, you kicked my kid! He said, did he tell you that he punched me? Oh, Johnny, I'm so sorry. He didn't tell me that. Oh, I feel so embarrassed. I run back. You punched him. Did he tell you that he first took out a gun and tried to shoot me? I said, a gun? Wow, Johnny's a little criminal. I ran out to Johnny. And I said, Johnny, you took a gun on my kid? And the kid says, you're right. Kills me. But imagine, really, each one of them is telling the truth. Nobody's lying. Right? Is anybody lying? Nobody's lying. But it's only part of the truth. And therefore, it is telling you a partial lie. So Cook explains that there are truths in other religions. But because those religions are not the whole truth, there is a deception, there is a perversion, there is a confusion that comes out of those traditions. And when Mashiach comes, what he will do is he will take all the other religions and put them back into the framework of Judaism, and the truth within them will be clarified, and the non-truth that was a function of being only partial will be clarified, and at that time, the world will be one. Any question what I just shared? You'll ask it tonight. Okay? Tonight we're meeting at my house at about 8 o'clock. Okay, so remember your question. Yes. Faith means to portray with dedication your beliefs. That's faith. Emunah from the word omanut, which is to be an artist, from the word ne'amanut, which means to be faithful or dedicated to, means that a person is faithful and able to portray what they really believe. Right? And that's why there is a verse in Tehillim that says, Kol mitzvotecha emunah, all your mitzvahs are emunah. Most people think emunah is a list of beliefs. No. Emunah really is mitzvot. Mitzvot are emunah. A mitzvah portrays what I believe, but more so, a mitzvah portrays a belief that actually portrays the truth of who we are, what we're part of, and why we're here, and what we're meant to be doing. That's what it's supposed to be.
This presentation by Rabbi David Aaron has been brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To access additional presentations from our online media library, order our best-selling books, or learn more about Israelite programming, including seminars, web-based learning, teleconferences, spiritual retreats, Shabbaton experiences, Israel missions, and leadership training, please visit us at www.israelite.org. That's www.israelight.org. You can also call us in New York at 212-947-4990 or in Jerusalem at country code 972-627-4890. We hope you enjoyed this presentation, and we look forward to learning with you at Israelite.